Praise the Lord. Well, this morning we're going back into our teaching again, dealing with above all things, the title that the Lord gave me for this series that I'm teaching. How long it's going to go, I have no idea. I don't know. I've just been going from week to week as I feel led to speak in this subject. The foundational scripture, this subject we're teaching and where the title came from, was that the Lord spoke to me one day, the scripture, 3 John, the second verse, and he spoke it from the King James Version, and he said, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." And this was a letter written, and it was specifically speaking to Gaius, a gentleman Gaius, and we talked about it. We won't go back over into that teaching again, but what the letter was written to concerning Gaius, that Gaius had met some qualifications. And we need to understand this from a scriptural standpoint, because some people have the idea, and they get the idea when it comes to prospering or anything else, if I just believe what the Bible says. It's more than just believing what the Bible says, it's living what the Bible says also. Some of that has been lost in the teachings of so-called faith messages, and keep leaving the people the idea, well, if you're believing, it's going to work out. Well, if you're believing and walking and doing what you've been believing, it's going to work out. So it's not enough to say, well, I believe something. Well, you could believe something, but don't practice it at all, you know, and it's important, our practice. We found out that Gaius's walk put him and qualified him into a place where John spoke specifically to him, and just as the Lord spoke specifically to me concerning these messages, these are for us. You know, we've been taught to walk. We've been taught about not just believing God, but living this thing too. It's number one, I don't understand why somebody would want to believe it, not live it. To me, one of the great glories of it is to live it. Hallelujah, to be able to live this life. And the great blessing in this is living this life. Now, last Sunday, we were talked specifically in the area of really dealing in prosperity. The Lord had me go over and talk again about the 128th Psalm, where He revealed it to me when I first got born again concerning our families. Folks, it is prosperity to have your families following God. I mean, that's prosperity, and that's what we want. We want to go to heaven and have our family there, don't we? Amen. And you know, God wants your family there too. And that's part of prosperity. I don't care how much money you give away. I don't care how much money you do. To me, that is so insignificant to the fact that my family would be in heaven with me. I just can't imagine how people can, you know, especially today. I mean, you watch people sometimes from a Christian standpoint, what the Christians think's important. Dear Lord, they got their priorities all messed up. You know, if you're going to use your faith about something, use it on something that'll be eternal and not just a bunch of temporal stuff all the time. It's okay to have temporal things. It's nothing wrong with it. Praise God. But one thing of it is, if they become, the temporal things become the forefront, you're in trouble. You're just going to have a problem. You're going to end up with a bunch of stuff ending up in your life you wish it had never had. And doing eternal things, and that was part of prosperity. Now, the Lord spoke to me to go over today, because we want to talk about financial prosperity. And He spoke to me to talk about, you know, some of the things that He dealt with me about financial prosperity, because God does want us to prosper, is because, you know, the Bible talks about giving. You know, in Luke, it tells us to give, and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, running over, that men would give into your bosom. In other words, giving, and from the standpoint of money, and money in the areas of giving, we need to understand the importance of that, and it's part of it, and it's in getting something in your, God has in return. You know, the Bible, we reap what we sow. In other words, we're sowing, and then we're reaping something back, and so He talks about giving. One of the things that I want to emphasize is really the blessing of giving. It's more blessed to give than to receive. It's more gift. Now, number one, You need to prosper so you can be more blessed to give than receive. Do you realize that? Usually the people that say, well, it's more blessed to give and receive, are talking about not getting, don't worry about, you don't need to get anything back. Well, you're a giver, your blessing's going to stop quick in the areas of giving if you ain't got nothing to give. So you need to have to give. And, you know, the Bible tells us things like, you know, it talks about a man. In the scriptures, it says a guy who doesn't take care of his own family is worse than an infidel. In other words, an infidel is an unbeliever. So in other words, I have a responsibility for the care of my family. That's a responsibility that I have. In other words, the Apostle Paul wrote as if that was a major responsibility up front, is the care of your family. Because to not care for your own family makes you worse than an unbeliever. You know, I know Christians. I know Christian ministers. I knew a Christian minister who was turning around and putting money into the gospel and was not taking care of his family. And our church years ago used to support him, and we quit supporting him. I sat him down and talked to him. I said, you know, number one, we give you money to bless your ministry, and your family's neglected, and you're giving money to people and doing stuff, and your family's needs aren't getting met. Well, he said, I'm sorry. He said, the Lord comes first. And I quoted him that scripture, and he says, well, I don't believe it that way. And I said, well, that's fine. You'll never get another nickel from our church because you're worse than an unbeliever. You can be a preacher or anything. The care of your family comes first. It does. God wants you to have enough to be able to give, but he also wants you to have enough you take care of your family, not giving money and your family's at need. I learned this as a young Christian, about it. You know, the Lord would tell me to do certain things and would tell me to do stuff. And I would say to the Lord, yeah, I'll do that for you, but I'm not taking the money from our family to go do that. I'll go wherever you want me to go or do anything you want me to do, but if you don't supply the money, that ain't my job. You know, my employer, any place I was ever employed, they never expected me, if I would have had to travel, never expected me to spend my money for their travel. Do you know that? See, a lot of people are messed, a lot of Christianity is messed up when it comes to money and God. You know, they're trying to take them. And I'd say the Lord, you know, I was in Bible school and the Lord told me to go on a mission trip to Peru. And I said, that's fine, Lord. But I said, you know, I'm not taking the family's money to go down to Peru. I said, if you don't supply it, I don't have to go. See, I'm always a big believer in that thing. I don't have to obey God if he don't do his part. You need to understand this. If God don't do his part, he's an idiot to think I'm going to try to take his place. That ain't working. Last I checked, it wasn't God, so we ain't going to go too far that one. But see, this is people do. They get over and they think, well, God tells them to do something. They start figuring how they can carry it out and do it. And I told him, I said, Lord, you want me to go? That's fine. I said, I'll go wherever you want me to go. But I said, I ain't taking my family's money. You're going to have to provide it. You're going to have to provide the money to go. Because I knew that the money that we had, if I took the money for us to go, they would shortchange the family. And I ain't going to do that. I ain't going to start doing that stuff. Folks, this works every time. I've done it all the time, so I know God don't get upset about it. Works all the time. So the Lord provided all the money. He did. Brought everything in. I didn't have to take 1 cent of our money to go on the trip. He provided everything. And he provided it all without me telling anybody about it. Never told anybody. I didn't go send anybody any letters and say, Ed's gone. And he said, God proved himself that he is bigger than Ed, and he's bigger than ministers, he's bigger than all this stuff. He's bigger. And he can do what he says. And so I want you to learn to trust God. God is interested in your life. He wants your family to do well. He wants your family to be blessed. He wants your family to be prospered. It is a witness. You know, it's one thing as our kids grew up, our kids never grew up not liking the ministry. You know, a lot of preachers' kids grow up not liking the ministry. And their parents are the problem because they sell everything out to God, even their kids. And that's why. It's because of bad Christian parents, bad minister parents. My kids didn't have to suffer. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm called to the gospel to preach it. They're not. I can't expect them to be, you know, following after me from the standpoint of my call. They have to follow their life. They need to be blessed. I want them to know that it isn't, you don't give up things to be a preacher. If you can't take care of the preachers, I don't want ever my kids to ever be one of them. I'll tell them, stay out of the ministry. Don't work for God. He's a scoundrel. My kids grew up and thought God was good. And that's the way it's supposed to be. They're supposed to grow up thinking God's good. That God will bless you. See, don't do that. Don't get into that stuff. You know, I'm sacrificing for Jesus, and then Jesus had nothing to do with it. They sacrificed their own kids on the altar. You know, God did stop Abraham from knifing them, but a lot of kids, you know, Christians have done knifed them. They done tried to kill them. Don't do that. Hallelujah. God's plan is for you to be blessed. And my children were always blessed. And I wanted my children because it was a witness to them. My kids grew up thinking God was good. God would take care of them. Hallelujah. God was gonna meet their needs. They believe. Why? Because they saw it. That's what they saw live. They didn't see a God who was always trying to take something from me. That's the most wonderful thing I love about giving. My God is never trying to take stuff from me. It's not what he's doing. Dear Lord, what would be the point of getting saved if God's just going to take stuff to you? Well, then go live your own life and let that scoundrel alone. That isn't what it's about. Hallelujah. God's a giver. He don't call you to give and he ain't doing it. Hallelujah. He's the big giver. He's the guy that set this thing in motion. Hallelujah. And you know how he gets you to like him? By doing stuff for you. That's how he proves himself. God is not worthy, a God worthy of your faith if he has not proved himself. He must prove himself as trustworthy. Or why would you say you trust him? You know, I said people turning around, all this lousy stuff going on in their life, and they'll say, well, we're trusting God. How can you trust some God when you think he's doing all the lousy in your life? What's your trust? You have no basis of trust. Trust is on the basis, based on what someone's performance. And God has a good performance record. He sure does with me anyhow. Hallelujah. He has a good performance record. And therefore, I can trust him. He's proved himself time and time again. And so, you know, he's good. He's good for what he says he's good for. Glory to God. And I've had a lot of wonderful people, you know, that taught me and trained me over the years. People who have proved God out in their lives and have walked. And I saw the trustworthiness of God for them. And I said, man, I'm going to go with this God. I like him because he's trustworthy. Hallelujah. And he'll prove himself to you. He has to. God's not a taker. He's a giver. He didn't tell you it's more blessed to give than receive. And all he does is take. If it's all he's doing is in the taking, then I'm getting in his mode. Because then he's working, making out better than I am. If I'm over on the giving side, but he's getting everything. Folks, it don't work that way. Well, hallelujah. Anyhow, it's good preaching, folks. But we want to follow God. I want you, just the psalm. The first, just think about it. This is the first psalm. Psalms number one. Speaking of God. Psalm number one. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Do you qualify? We ain't there. Well, I'll tell you, it's looking good already, isn't it? This guy's blessed. The person is blessed who don't hang out with the scoundrels and the ungodly and act like them. Glory to God. You're blessed. So we can say today, you're blessed. See, you should walk around and be saying, you know, I'm blessed. Why do I know I'm blessed? Because I don't sit in the counsel of the ungodly. I don't stand in the paths of sinners. I don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Glory to God, I'm blessed. Hallelujah. I'm blessed. And it says, what? This person, what? His delight is in what? The law of the Lord, or we would say the word of the Lord. Delights in the word, and in his law or in his word, he meditates day and night. Well, let's tell you about what is this person? What happens? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in a season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. I want you to see that. He said, this person, this guy that qualifies for this person, everything that individual does prospers. Everything prospers. Everything he does. Everything. See, well, number one, this person ain't going to be doing a bunch of dumb, stupid things. Number one, they're going to be walking, following the word of God. That's what they're going to be doing. And you know what? Whatever they put their hand to, they're going to prosper in it. See, don't ever talk about, whoever you work for or whatever it is, don't ever talk the nonsense that everybody else talks. Whatever I do prospers. Everything that I get involved in prospers. I make out in it. It always works. You can't, if you view it any other way, you ain't going to be the blessed guy. You don't qualify for this psalm because why? You're sitting in the seat of the scornful. Don't go there. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Don't scorn your own blessing. Hallelujah. Keep your blessing. See, what many times we tie our blessing to an individual or to a business or to a thing. He didn't say anything. He said, whatever that person does is blessed. That's what the Lord tried to show me when I was complaining about a boss that I had. And I was complaining about it. He said, why don't you go to work for me? which I knew what he meant. Start doing as unto the Lord instead of that guy. That guy, because of the way I was operating, was keeping my own blessing from me. And as soon as I got in line, blessings started coming to me. Whatever I did prospered. It started prospering. He didn't bless me at all. He didn't give me any more pay at all. But God knew how to get me money. God knew people that had money that would give it to me. And God got them to give it to me as soon as I got in line. As soon as I got right, things started working. I'll tell you what, this psalm, and so to me, isn't it amazing? Now, we could sit down. Why wasn't one of the psalms about the Messiah come and put right there the first one or so? I mean, that's the number one psalm on the bunch. That's the first three verses of the number one psalm. Now, I ain't going to read the rest of them. It's about the wicked, so we ain't qualified. We ain't reading that part. We ain't the wicked. So, hallelujah. But the first three verses are to the people, the blessed people who are not in here in the council of the ungodly, standing in the way of sinners, sitting in the sea of the scornful. Hallelujah. This one is that whatever they do, they're like a tree that's planted by the river. I love the fact that it says, you know, you bear your fruit in the season. Hallelujah. When it's the season to have it, you'll have it. Hallelujah. You'll always have it. You'll always be in the season. Glory to God. I'll tell you, one of the greatest problems we have in the church world today is most Christians aren't in their season. They're trying to live another season. Hallelujah. A lot of Christians don't realize, you know, they talk about Jesus coming back, but they ain't living like they're in a season of it. We're in a season of great blessing right now, but a lot of Christians think we're in a season of a lot of bad stuff going on, a lot of stuff happening out there. I'm going to tell you what, I'm by the river, man. I'll tell you what, there's a river flowing by me. Glory to God, I'm down by the river. There's a lot flowing by, hallelujah. Everybody else says, yeah, it's going somebody else, not me. No, I'm going to tell you what, I'm in that river, and I'm in my season, glory to God, and whatever I do, it prospers. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's our season. God don't have me teaching this stuff because, maybe it ain't going to work. It might not. Well, if it don't, I'll quit teaching it. Hallelujah. Well, we ain't going to stop that. But one of the things I want to speak about those things is, over the years, my wife and I were really setting ourselves in the areas of giving. And started off in Christianity. I believe everybody starts. One of the things we started doing as young Christians, we started tithing, giving a tenth. You know, and I know a lot of people, I don't know if the Lord will have me teach on tithe. There's a lot of people say, well, tithing's not for today. And they can't prove that by Scripture. We don't have any place that says it quit. And number one is this. If under the law they give more money than Christians under grace, that's a disgrace. It's a disgrace. You know, under the law, I don't care. There was no such thing. The law did not have a thing. If you were poor, you didn't have to tithe. You didn't have to give because you're poor. One of the worst things we do, and we have killed people in the church world by turning around and not expecting people to be givers just because they don't have much. If they do that to them, they'll never have much, and they'll never get much from God. It'll never happen. You teach people that they don't have to participate. It's our government's ruined. They don't have to pay taxes. They don't have to do nothing. They don't have to be a part of anything. And they will always stay poor. And that's why Jesus said you'll always have the poor with you. Because there's always going to be people that are going to do their best to keep everybody poor. Thinking they're being good and even using the Christian name at it. You don't ever do that to people. You don't ever start taking care of everything for an individual. You don't ever do that. You make them a participant. And if they aren't willing to get into it, then go find somebody that's willing to go into it. If I find a person and they don't want to be a participant, they just want to be a taker, I look for somebody else to help and to bless. I don't stay with them. You know, there's no point to it. There's no point to doing that. And see, this is what we have today. You know, people, they just takers. They just want something handed out. You'll never have the blessing of God if you go there, if you go to that place. And so, you know, I grew up in what they'd have called us poor. They'd have said we were poor. Grew up in a big family. They'd have called us poor. We had others in our community that were people on welfare. And they were getting government aid and all kind of stuff. Had more money than we did. But you know what? We lived better than they did. Because I had parents who were godly. They gave money. They never lived or acted like they didn't have nothing. And what they did have, they took care of it and they worked. And the people, I watched this as a kid growing up, the ones that got the more government stuff, they started doing less. As soon as they found out that they could have without being a participant, they started doing less. And I want to tell you what, those kids are the family. Now, I went to school with them, there's one family specifically. All their kids end up so messed up and so squirrely, it's terrible. Every one of them did. Following that path, you can't be blessed and follow that path. Our entire family, we have always been blessed financially. We have always, everybody in our family, God has. And you know what? It's because we had parents with good sense and their blessing carried on through the children. I'm going to tell you what. Well, yeah, people don't work and stuff like that and don't do things as a participant. They're cursing their kids and their kids are going to pay for it down the line. If you're lazy, your children are going to pay for it. Your children are going to end up paying for it. They will. You might have it bad, they'll probably have it worse. You do squirrely things, that's why, you know, hey, we live for God, for others. We're passing blessing on. That's what we do. Well, God likes this thing. He wants this thing to run. Well, when the Lord started to talk to me and came to me about money, Wanda and I were always givers, and we got into the things of giving, and we enjoyed it. We really liked it when we were able to give, to help, to do something, to whether it was a ministry or whatever it was. And we learned the principle, you know, along those lines pretty quick. And I learned how it worked. I learned if I was going to do something, I had a certain amount of money. And if I knew it wasn't enough money to do what I needed to do, and it wasn't, you know, anything close to what I needed, I learned, well, either to give it part of it away or all of it away. I learned to do that. I learned to say, well, you know what I need to do? I need to sow because there's something I want to do. So to do that and carry it out, I need to bless somebody else. I need to go bless somebody because I have a need, and I've learned concerning my needs and things that if I turn around and bless others, I'll be blessed. And I found that out, and Wanda and I would practice that. We'd come up at times that we would have things and wouldn't have the money we needed, and we'd sit there. Why sit there and grip and hold on to the money you need when they need enough anyhow and ain't going to get it done? Why sit there and, you know, play that game? I watch people just go on it. We'd say, well, what can we sow to? What can we put something into somebody else to help them meet what they need to meet? How can we do that? And so we learned to do those kinds of things, and we would start to do them. And, you know, sometimes people think we were crazy. What are you doing that? You don't have it. We weren't crazy. We were the smartest people in town. We weren't crazy at all. We found out this. Once I found out the system worked, we're going to play this baby. This is the one I'm in. This is the one I'm working. I've done things the other way. I was Mr. I keep it, you give me some more. And I lived like that. And when I found out that you didn't have to live that way, that you could bless other people, and I found that this system works. So it came to that, we found out that Wanda and I found out we didn't have to fear concerning money. We didn't have to fear about that. We didn't have to worry that we weren't going to ever have enough. We didn't have to ever, didn't have to, you know, don't even enter our minds that we wouldn't have enough. I don't even think about that. If that thought comes to me, it's like, where did that squirrely thing come from? Because it is impressive. We're going to have enough. Hallelujah. And I thank God I had a father. My dad, you know, went through the depression days, and my dad used to say this, and he told us about it. He used to tell people, and I heard my mom even say him say it. He said he'd always say, I'll always have a job. Now, he came from down in the Shenandoah Valley and down the Shenandoah Valley in Virginia. I mean, there wasn't no work down there during the depression. I mean, it was just bad news. But yet my dad always had a job. He always had a job. See, he always had one. He didn't, you know, he wasn't looking for the soup line. He wasn't looking for the government assistant. He wanted a job. And he taught us as kids, you get a job, you go to work. You do something. You don't sit around and wait for somebody else to take care of you. You don't do that. That's not what you do. Thank God. Had a father, really. He prospered us. He blessed us in speaking like that to us. He blessed us. He passed on the blessing that he had. Hallelujah, and he passed it on to us. And so those things were along. So Wanda and I, over the years, we had given. And so it was about 2000, in 2014, the Lord spoke to me, but actually for a year or two before that time, Randall Greer, I was going to his meetings, and Randall Greer was making different statements about finances, about money, different things God had told him or different things God had shown him over the years and things. And there was just things inside of me going on, but I couldn't exactly put my finger on it. You know, Jerry, sometimes you know God's talking to you in an area, and you're just sort of, but somehow it isn't ringing the bell. And I knew it here as the finances. And I had a dissatisfaction in the areas of finances and things. And I was unhappy about the way some of the stuff got out and to be taught. I started seeing, you know, financial teaching over the years getting over into things where it was how to get money in your pocket from somebody. And it was really using people. I didn't like the way they were teaching it. I didn't like the way a lot of ministries were doing it from the standpoints of they're taking offerings and doing stuff, because I could never see God operating like that. I couldn't see it. You know, if he'd operate the way they do, can you remember Jesus running his ministry and he had a treasurer and everything like that? And we don't see him running around, and why don't we have illustrations of him, you know, trying to get huge offers and telling people all kind of stuff and doing things? Why wouldn't we have that? It should be in there. We need to be careful. I have nothing matter if somebody taking an offering at a meeting. That's absolutely fine to do. But we need to get over the areas to understand being coerced. And there's a lot of coercion goes on. And God spoke to me specifically about things, and he was not happy when he spoke to me about what solid ministers are doing. He's not happy because he said, they're not in the business of blessing my people. They're in the blessing. They say, oh, they want you to be blessed, but they're up front on the list. They want it first. And we need to be careful about these things. We need to be careful in how we do them. It's like the Apostle Paul made the statement. He said, you know, getting an offering from somebody, he said, I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing this for you. I'll tell you what, I know a lot of people ain't done it for you. They did it for them. They didn't do it for you. For you. They wanted to get what they got. And we need to understand is what happens was the Lord was showing me things because he said, my people are not being blessed like I want them to. And he said, the ministry has kept them in that place. Because people aren't teaching things right. They aren't doing things right. And he says, my people are not being blessed the way I want them to be. That's what he told me. And then one of the things he told me about, he says, you don't receive at the level that you give. There's certain things that I do, and I don't know, maybe the Lord will tell you different, but I have never, my personal things of personal finances and personal wealth and stuff, I don't go around telling people my need. I have just never, it is the reason maybe I've done that more is because of the opposite side that I have seen so many, and even ministers are always putting their need. Now, I'm not talking about the ministry need. I'm talking about personal need. It's my personal need. I'm not putting it out there for somebody all the time. And I don't like ministers that are doing that, do that. I don't like it. I don't like to give to them. Because they don't know how to go in their closet and believe God and keep their blab mouth shut and let God do it. Which shows me one thing, they don't know much about faith. There's many ministers who bring in millions of dollars who do not do it by faith. They know how to market. I'm around, they have businesses. I can take you to places, Tulsa, Oklahoma, businesses that ministries and that handles how they raise money. And they know how to do and put together, they have, you know, how to do mailings. And these mailings, the ministries don't put them out. They are put out by a company. And a company puts all this stuff out. And this is with this company. I knew a guy who worked for the company, and he said their policy, and they tell these people, always have an emergency going on. It doesn't matter if you have enough money to do anything, everything you want to do. You always tell them you have an emergency that you need. You always have some big thing that you got to have the money now. I could sit and name you big name ministries, call themselves faith people, and you'd choke to know that that's what they're doing. They have these companies do this. Oh, they send you packets of oil we prayed over. They never prayed over none of it. They never saw the oil. The oil came from China or someplace like that. Package went into the thing the company did and put it out. They never saw it. This special oil we prayed over. My God, it don't matter if he did pray over. It wasn't nothing special about it at all. The prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise them up. The special oil don't do that. It's nothing but con stuff goes on. But it raises money. It makes money. It makes money. But you know what? It cheats people. It cheats the individual. The individual thinks then that they need something special from somebody else to be blessed. It robs them. It robs you. When you fall con to anything, it robs you. Anything that hurts your believing and hurts how you can trust God and what God would do for you, that hurts you and your believing. God don't like that. God don't want you manipulated. God wants your faith to work. We don't have to try to do that. So we need to be careful. I mean, there's good. This is one of the things that we need to know and be led by the Spirit, because there's good ministers and there's ones that ain't good. Mike was reading this morning. One guy, look what I did in your name. And Jesus is going to say, I don't know you. I don't know you. Why? I'm going to tell you, you ain't going to be fleecing the flock and end up in heaven. What do you want to be with the flock for in heaven? Dear Lord, you didn't like them on the earth. Tony Cook used to tell us in Bible school, he used to say there's a lot of ministers out here that love crowds and hate people. There's that stuff going on out there, people. You need to understand that. And see, I'm very cautious because, number one, I don't want anybody, and you've heard me say this many times, I don't want you to feel I have my hand in your pocket. I don't want that. I don't like it, and I don't want you to feel in that way either. Do you know, even on the things, if I need money, you know, one of the things here in the church is, you know, you guys have been so gracious to Wanda and I in giving. I mean, it is just amazing. But I want you to understand this about this in this area is giving. I've never said this before, but the Lord wanted. I never, when it comes to you guys giving money, I never believe for a certain amount of money. I never touch it concerning you guys giving to me. I never touch it with my faith, even. I always tell the Lord, Lord, whatever they wanted, I want them to just in their heart to follow what's in their heart to do. I never believe for a certain amount of money. Never put it out. Why? Because it's you guys. I don't want to use my faith. I'm not using my faith to try to manipulate anything that I want out of you. I will not do it. Because I believe you're taught better. I believe you know how to follow God. I believe God can talk to you. I am not using my... When it comes to that personal money like that, I don't put my faith out toward how much you can do for me. I don't do that. I will not manipulate concerning you guys. Wanda and I never agree for a certain amount of money. We never do anything about it. I won't do that. I personally, this is just the way I feel. Maybe I'm wrong, but I just think it'd be sort of cheating you guys and just sort of, I just don't want to do it. I don't want to use it in that way at all. I want you to just do it whether you want to or whether you don't. If we got a nickel, I wouldn't bother me in the least. I'd still say, thanks a lot, I appreciate it. I'm serious. Hallelujah. I don't care. It's just, but we never sit down and use our faith in that area concerning finances from the people in the church. We don't do that. I don't know. I think some of this stuff to me is sacred. I just think there's lines you just don't cross. I think there's lines you just don't go to. You know, we're family. I ain't taking my family across. My family ain't just a thing to get me some money. My family ain't. And I've always looked at you in that way. I've just never wanted, I'd rather be cautious on the side where I have less than I'd end up with more doing wrong. I'd rather end up on that side of it. Because, you know, is anything, especially, boy, money has caused a lot of trouble in the body of Christ and has caused a lot of falling and tripping and carrying on. It's done a lot of things. It's hurt a lot of people. It's hurt a lot of stuff. And it's coming around just using integrity. And I'll tell you what, I want to use integrity when it comes to these because I see what happens when integrity is not used. It's important. It's important. But the Lord spoke to me specifically about my finances and said to me, he said, you know, you're not receiving at the level you give. And then he began to speak to me about it. And he talked to me about some things that I knew in other areas, how I had to use my faith concerning finances in. But I had never really set myself on a course of doing things. And one of the things that he sat down, he spoke to me about in the areas of giving. He said, I had never set myself up where I was like, I always did when I needed some money or something, I would believe the Lord for a certain amount of money, and that money would come in. But he said, I don't want you to do it that way. He said, because what it really did, it was what it was doing was keeping me from having the amount of money that I needed. What I was always doing is when the thing arose that I'm believing for it, he said, I want you to be proactive in this thing. I want you to have your faith out there all the time for something coming in, because he said, you're always giving. You're always putting out. You're doing that. And he said, and he told me, he said, you like to give. You enjoy doing it. That's what you do. Now, one of the things he used from a scripture, and I want to go over Paul. And I love where Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 9th chapter, because I think this is one of the greatness of this is not just because it's about finances, but I believe it it magnifies, because the Lord took me here to this, because it magnifies the heart from the standpoint of the giver, of the person giving, and what God wants you to have in this area. Now, there was an offering being taken up. There was an offering being taken up for Jerusalem. The church was having problems there in the Jerusalem area. In fact, there had been famine. And so there was a shortages and things. And so they were taking an offering for the church in Jerusalem. This is what this whole offering thing started off. So they were going to the Gentile churches, in the Gentile churches in the other countries, and asking them to give, to come down and give to the help of their brother. And so they had put this out ahead of time. It was one of those things, they were asking for an offering. They did it ahead of time, and then they set up a time when they were going to come and collect this offering. They were going to do this thing. And so the people knew ahead of time. It was a preparation. I think sometimes that's really good. It's one of the things that I always let people know about offerings out ahead of time. I want people to be prepared. I want your last minute number trying to get something out of you. You know what? I don't like ministers doing that when they wouldn't have to. You know, then they put a last minute rush on you. It's like they're your fault if they don't get the money they need. You know, put things out ahead of time on there. Well, now the Lord took me to these scriptures. Now I'm going to start reading verse 5. It says, this is Paul writing to the church at Corinth. He says, therefore, he said, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift before, which you have previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. Now, listen to what Paul's saying. Paul's saying, look, we want this offering to come in. We want this thing, this matter, as generosity and not grudging obligation. In other words, it's like myself. I don't want you to ever feel in giving, I'm not putting an obligation on you. That, you know, he says, a grudging obligation. Here's this thing. Now you got to do it. You got to do this thing. I want you to understand this. Ministers who stand up and do that to people, they're cursing the people. Because what happens? The person did not give by faith. Therefore, they're not going to get anything back from it. See, they have this idea, oh, if you give a big offering, then you're going to get blessed. It's all on how you gave the offering. It's all on how you gave the offering. If it was all I got, see, it's like me, I don't look as tithing as I have to do. Tithing is something I want to do. I don't have to tithe. I don't feel a grudging obligation to tithe. I think it's a wonderful idea that Ed can help God do stuff. I think it's a great thing. So it's not a grudging. If you don't get it, God's going to get you. You know, one of the things I like is Brother Hagin taught us, and he used to say, you know, it's in the New Testament, it don't tell you if you don't tithe, God was going to get you. If you didn't give, God was going to get you. He says, it don't say it. He said, God ain't going to get you. See, some of you, well, I got to do this. See, it misses the whole purpose. And see, this is what Paul's doing. Paul's preparing and doing this thing, but he's also getting into things of preparing the people. He don't want them giving money, feeling obligated to have to do this. This is a whole act of love, of doing something. He wants everybody blessed out of it. He wants the people who receive the offering blessed, but he wants the givers to be blessed too. He wants everybody to be blessed out of this thing. Because people who turn around and push on people to give and push on people to give are cursing the person lots of times because they're making obligation. The individual's not in faith, and I don't care what they put in. Whatever we do is but faith. And we got to get a hold of that. See, and this is one thing, as I've learned, if somebody's taking an offering and they just keep pushing, my wallet stays closed. I am not given till I'm free. Telling me if I don't give, this ain't going to work, that ain't work. Man, I'm going to tell you, I just want to shake their hand. Well, it ain't going to work. You made sure. I just want to let you know you did a great job. It's not an obligation. It's not, I'll tell you, we got a budget. We got to meet this budget. And boy, if we don't get enough to meet this budget, well, good. And if you don't give, we can't meet the budget. You know, we need $1 million to meet the budget. Now, I'm worth $47 million, but you have to give it all. Oh, there's ministers out there like that. They're worth millions, some of them hundreds of millions. The dollars they're worth that are turning around telling you how you ought to sacrifice. You know, a minister staying in a $20,000 a night hotel room. I'd minister. What on earth? There ain't a hotel room in the world that's worth no $20,000 for one night. I don't care if you have 47 servants and whatever else. You didn't use $20,000 worth of it to begin with. So let's get real about this thing. You went to bed and went to sleep, you moron. And that's all you did. And unless you were having girls on the side, which God does that, he may. I don't know. But spending like that, I'm going to tell you, I don't care. That ain't right. You don't do that. And they're doing it with ministry money. You want to do it with your own personal money, you do it. When you're spending ministry money doing those things, and then they're doing it off of ministry money, I tell you what, Ed's wallet closes. He don't need ministry money. I would never. To me, that's shameful. You know, I travel some, I'm going down to Florida here in January, and not this coming week, but the following week, going down there to meetings. But you know, twice a year the church pays for me to go down to Gatlinburg twice a year in March and that stuff, and they cover the room and things and stuff down there. And I'm just going to, last year, Alyssa and Braden went along down with us and that stuff, so we got a suite. But you know, it's just like me, if they go along and we got a suite, the church don't pay for a suite. The church only pays for what it would be a regular room for Wanda and I pay the rest. I don't charge the church. And any days past the meetings and that stuff, the church don't get billed for it. That's mine. Now, I want to tell you what, our board would be very much more gracious if they wanted to, but I don't want them to. This is the church's money. God can bless me, and if he can't, then let's get out of the ministry. You just don't do it. You know, I tell you what, I ain't trying to figure out ways I can just walk off with you guys' money and do stuff. We ain't doing that. I don't do that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's like I just can't understand some, you know, the lavishness and the stuff that they do. Hold it. This is people's money who put this stuff out for you to carry out ministry. To me, I just think it's so gracious to have the board do that. The board has been very nice to me and good to me in this church, and the people have been so good to me. That isn't a reason to take advantage. You know, if I stay over any extra days from the meeting, that's my pocket. That's mine, and it should be my pocket. It's number one, I need to know, it is healthy spiritually for Ed to believe for his own money on things. It's not healthy for a minister to live really like a welfare guy off the church, expecting them to take care of everything. The Lord told me when we started the church, he said, never have the church pay you the amount of, more money than to actually, you know, than you need. You always have yourself that you need more than what they give. In other words, you keep yourself in a place where you're always believing and keeping your faith working. There's many ministers who don't operate in faith. Everything's about the church taking care of it. And many of them, as churches get bigger, that's exactly how it operates. They never use any faith. The church takes care of everything. That's not healthy spiritually. That's not healthy spiritually for me ministering to you and I'm not using my faith. That's not healthy. I ain't going to put a demand on you that I won't live by. We ain't going there in this. That's wrong. And that's why there's been so much messed up in the church world. Because people aren't doing it. It's just dishonesty. It's not right. Brother Hagin talked about these things. Brother Hagin would not do that. He spoke about it. He said there's many big name ministers, he says, are bringing shame on the church because he said they're living like movie stars and they're living like things. They got everything under the sun. And he said they're bringing the reproach of Christ. He said they're ministers. He said we need to be careful as ministers. You know, a guy owns a business and he wants to live in a $10 million home, let him live in it. But we shouldn't be living in $10 million homes off the ministry. We shouldn't be doing it off the ministry. Make sure you're doing it off of your cash, not the ministry's cash. That ain't right. It brings shame. It's one thing to honor a person, but it's another thing a person needs to learn to know is there's certain honors you don't, that people want to give you. Sometimes you got to put your hand up and say, no, we ain't going that far. Why? It's because of the integrity of the ministry is anything, everything. You need to understand that. If people begin not to trust the person, I don't care what they preach and how much God is in it, it won't work. People won't listen to it. And we've got that a lot in America is what's happening. A lot of people ain't listening because there's a lot wrong. In travels, I sit around in airport, like if I'm in an airport somewhere, I always get talking to people. You know, you're a minister and you travel. You tell people you're a minister, I'm going to tell you what, don't tell them what you're going to have. One of the biggest things that I hear, people I hear that I don't know is around, you talk about ministers. And they talk about the lavish lifestyles. I have had this time and time again in airport. People may, yeah, well, these ministers out here, and they're living and doing this and doing that. Then people don't like it. Why should we be giving them money? Why should we be giving them? You know, most of them, they begrudge a person a good living. And so they're out here living, you know, way out there beyond. We shouldn't, from a ministry standpoint. We need to be careful how far we go. We need to be careful how far we go. Not about living good and living in a nice home and having nice stuff, but we can go too far. We can go too much. You know, we've got it today, even in the church world. You take churches now, they're building huge, enormous buildings that are hardly even used, you know. My God, they don't have Sunday night services, they don't have weeknight services, and they're building huge things to just meet one day Sunday morning, spending fortunes just to meet on a Sunday morning. And then anybody in there using that huge auditorium that seats, you know, 20,000 people sitting there, and it ain't even being used during the week, and one day. And we're spending hundreds of millions to keep this stuff running. What's going on? What's happening? What are we doing? It's like just a show. It's in a show. What are we doing? Just to say we have the bunny. It's like, hold it, hold it, hold it, hold it, hold it. What's the point of all the money? What's the point? And then turn around and doing that and then turn around and say, you know, I'll tell you, we need to take an offering for the poor. Oh, dear Lord, you should have thought to that before you built that building that ain't being used. If you wanted to. But it's like, there needs to be a sense comeback. Now, hey, I'm not against people living good and driving nice. I want them to do it. You know, I want the ministers to be a good example, you know, have money, not run around being a bunch of beggars and living good and nice. But they have to learn to use their own faith. But they're taking the ministry and they're taking what's the ministries and what people are given the ministries, and they're turning around and using it for their own lifestyles in big time. And that should not be. Learn to believe for yourself. Learn to get over there, you know. And not always just because the ministry will pay you $1 million or $2 million a year, you don't have to take it. If you're honest, you probably, you know, Kenneth E. Hagin, he learned the principle, and you know, over the years, God taught him and his own money. When he got paid from the ministry, he never got 100% of the money he was paid every year for the ministry. He went back in the ministry. He gave it all back. He lived off of money he believed God for and walked into that. And he lived a nice life, had a nice home, and nice stuff, and people are always giving him nice things. And one of the things that most impressed me the most, I don't care how nice thing you got gave him, he wasn't impressed by it. I remember he's driving around in a night, it was a 1970, I think it was an, excuse me, a 1980, was it 1983 or 1984 Bronco? And he loved his Bronco. He loved his Bronco. He had a Bronco and he loved it. Well, they got together, and some of the people in the ministry and his son got together, we had to buy him a new car. So they took up offering. And they bought him a new BMW. And they gave it to him, and he said, I want my Bronco. He said, I like my Bronco, and I like driving my Bronco. He said, I don't want that. And they had to talk him into taking it. But he took it, but he drove his Bronco. But, you know, he wasn't impressed with stuff. Things didn't, you know, giving him accolades and things did not impress him. It was not the things that turned him on. It's not the things that he did. He lived a good life, but he was a man who was a giver. Now, really, from his income through the ministry, He didn't live off of 10%. He lived, he gave it all away. He was living off of money that he had from investments and things that he did and money savings. And him and his wife lived a very good life, and they had a really good, you know. He said, we have more than what we need. He said, I give that stuff I'm giving away. He said, over there. So he's over there giving that money away. And, you know, it's really from his standpoint. And, you know, when he wrote the book, you know, the Midas Touch, he wrote that because he said, what happened? He said, I watched the things in the 1950s that ministers were doing in his day. He said, I watched it. And he said, it killed the move of God. It stopped the move of God. He said, because they began to do the same things. He said, the men of today, or ministers, are doing the same thing today that those guys started doing back there. He said, money came to the forefront. And he said, it killed. Do you want to watch a business get killed when money stays in the forefront and don't doing the right things and doing the right stuff? Successful businesses run off the fact of people. It's amazing because I've read things and books and stuff of men and stuff have very successful business. And you read, money is never in the forefront. Money is never in the forefront. Never of people that are successful. They have a goal set to reach, and it's usually never money. It's reaching a certain goal. And it's just like, you know, the one guy I have there, the Australian guy, he said, you know, reaching his goals, because the money will follow. The money will follow if you reach the goal. The money will follow it. So money can't be the driver for the thing. And see, we need to watch, because what happens is the money becomes the driver. They're preaching, you know, the money, the reason you're given is to get something. The money becomes what the driver, and that's not good. It's not what the money's going to produce and do, so what it can bless. That's not the motivation. The motivation is what I'm getting out of this. In other words, it's all just about an investment. Me making money so I can retire early. That's one of the great things we're having problems here in America. All these people there say, well, I can't retire when I want to. The only reason they put money away, it wasn't to have God in the middle of anything and give some money. It's just so they could get their money together and they could go retire and live good and just do whatever they wanted. Had nothing to do with anybody else or blessing anybody else or doing nothing. God can't get in that. It wasn't about having money to bless. It's about having money for me, just for me. There isn't nothing about having money for you. I want you to have money for you. Paul wanted you to have money. John wanted you to have money for you. But when we give, especially in the area, God dealt with me in the areas of giving and dealing with me in the areas of giving, he talked about this grudging obligation because he said people were being pushed in this area. Now listen to what Paul said. Paul went on verse 6. We haven't forgotten we're out here back in 2 Corinthians. I threw all the rest in that was free. Okay. He says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So he's telling people both sides of this thing. See, he's not lying to people about it. We need to understand about giving if you don't want to give much. But now I want to say to you this about giving. You need to understand this. God is not moved by the number on the bills. God is moved by what you have of what you do. That's why we have the woman, you know, I know specifically put in scripture. Jesus said, the woman with the two mites, he said she gave more than everyone. So God looks at our giving by what we have. That's what he looks at. It's what you got to what you give. So, you know, somebody might be worth millions and they could sure give more. Somebody out here isn't worth that much and they're putting what it seems to be less. But I found this many times and I know by our own church and giving and look at things. There are people over the years that I've looked in our church. There's people over the years earn much more money and give less than people who earn less money than they do. People who make less money give more. I've seen it time and time again. We had a businessman. I mean, business worth millions and millions and millions used to come to our church. And Larry Wack in a wheelchair on, you know, his assistance that he got because, you know, where he worked his, you know, whatever it was. Larry Wack gave more money a year to the church than he did. The guy worth millions. See, Larry was a much bigger giver. Larry was a much bigger giver than they were. And these people would tell us every once in a while they would give a good offering and they'd think it was a big deal. I didn't pay no more attention to those scoundrels. Because that's all they were, is a bunch of scoundrels. They weren't in it to give. They weren't in giving. You see, God looks at what you have of what you do. So you don't measure it by because some guy can put $1 million in and you could only put $20 in. Your $20 may be in a higher percentage than his $1 million check he dropped in. And so it goes by what you got, what you have, and what you can do. So understand that about death, because God don't expect you to give $1 million. You know what I mean? He expects you. Whatever you give, he just wants you to be happy about it and glad you can do it. Get it set in your heart. Why? Because God does want to bless you. That's what he wants to do. So get in the flow. See, sometimes people sort of, and you got to watch yourself. I used to sometimes used to feel bad about I only had so much to give when I first started off. And I'd always feel like, oh man. And I had to learn to stop that. I had to learn to be glad. And I used to start this thing and I'd say, Lord, I just want to thank you. I have money to give. I just thank you. And I found out over the years, I started having more money to give. When I started getting thankful, just, I'm glad. So you can get over into things and then criticize yourself and look at it badly. And after a while, you'll be giving less yet. Don't go to that place. Don't get over in that thing here and shame yourself in your giving. Don't do that. Don't go to that place. You're not going to get blessed doing that. That ain't going to help you. You're not going to do that. Be always glad and thankful for what you're able to give. But here it says, if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. So, you know, the woman put 2 copper coins in. He said she gave the most, so she didn't spare a thing, did she? Now, somebody would say, well, what's the 2 copper pennies? Weren't worth anything. That was everything she had. God noticed that. God noticed that. See, that's the thing. We need to be careful in how we do things. And I watch ministries and ministers sometimes and doing offerings. And they're shaming people, you know. They'll do things well. And I watch one of the biggest ministers in the United States. In fact, last I've heard, he's the biggest drawer of money. His ministry is the largest money. Had a thing that he was doing, and he had to give either $500 or $1,000 an offering. He said, if you come with the $500, you come up. He said, I'm going to pray for you. If you're going to give less, don't come up. Don't come up. I told you who it was, you'd sit there and know. But I want to tell you what. See, there's things that ain't right. You know. God's not going to bless the lady. In other words, the lady with the 2 copper coins, you're dirt. You stay sitting. God ain't going to bless you. This con stuff goes on. And these are the big names that everybody watches and people watch and say, I love them because they're on TV all the time. And you know, they're always doing their stuff and always got a big ministry, big this, big this, big that. Big that, big this, and he's the same guy at $20,000 a night hotel on the ministry and stuff. I'm sorry, that stuff's wrong. God don't work through the man because he's doing right. He works through the man because he wants to bless people. People need to understand the difference in that too. But he said, if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sowing. What you're reaping. So there, he's laying out the principle. He said in verse 7, so let each one give as what he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves what a cheerful giver. God wants you. If you can't give $100 happy, don't do it. Now see, that'd be the opposite of what most financial guys would ever tell you. Oh no, you know, give. I'm just telling you the truth. I know how faith works. And I know what don't work. And I ain't going to lie to get an offering out of somebody. You can't happily put it in. I just want you to know that your heart's not in it. It ain't going to produce nothing for you. If your heart is the place of faith. And whatever isn't a faith is a sin. To give grudgingly is a sin. It's a sin. There's no faith in it. Whatever you do is by faith. That's what he said. You get your heart in this thing. Find out what will your heart let you do? What will your heart get behind to do? See, I learned that's how you build your faith and get your faith to work. Many people are trying to get their faith to work by doing things their heart ain't in. Trying to push ahead of where their heart's at. You'll be successful by finding out what your heart can do and start operating in that spot. And I'll tell you what, you'll grow from there. You'll grow. When you find out that what you did in your heart worked, then you'll do it. Then, you'll get excited and want to do a little bit more. And then you'll go step out further and step out. But if you have it out there where you don't like it, well, I'm going to tell you what, you're going to like it less. Because when it don't work, why did I ever give that? And I would have to say to you, yeah, why did you do that? You shouldn't have done that. See, Paul's not trying to just, he's telling both sides of it. Generosity was going to, more generous we are, we're going to produce more. But on the other side, giving more doesn't mean it's going to work better for you if you ain't doing it in the right motive. See, we have to have both sides of it. You know, I want to tell you, they don't usually preach this stuff right before offerings. You won't find the financial preachers don't preach this kind of stuff before the offering, you know. they don't do that. I'm going to tell you the truth because I love you. I want you blessed. I want you blessed. I want your giving to work for you. I want you to be blessed. I want you to do what you do because it's in your heart to do it. I want you to follow God. You know, I like the Apostle Paul, follow me as I follow Christ. He just didn't say, oh, just up and follow me. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. That's what we want to do. Let's follow Christ. And we'll see if Paul's following Christ at all, then we can follow him. But if you don't know what to follow Christ, you might follow anything. And sometimes people followed anything that came along. Hallelujah. That's not us, is it? We're following God. Hallelujah. You've been trained and taught about listening to your inner man. You listen to your inner man, and I'll tell you what, you'll be blessed. God loves a cheerful giver. That says, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. Now, he didn't say God will make all grace. In other words, he's saying, God can make this work. If you do the right, because he told him, see, if you don't do it, you do it grudgingly. God can't make all that grace abound toward you. If you're giving out a grudge, it ain't going to be working. He can make all grace abound to you. He can do this. This is what he can do. He's telling us how we can let him do it for us. How we can. Given with the right motives and the right things. You'll grow in grace. You'll grow to walk in grace. You'll go to do it. He's showing us how to do it. He's just not trying to just get an offering out of people. He wants these people to be blessed. He wants them to be blessed. Now, this scripture here, I've always, concerning it says, God's able to make all grace abound to you. He said that you always have all sufficiency in all things and may have an abundance for every good work. And I've made over the years many times confession concerning that many times of having real an abundance for every good work. That's what I want. I want to have an abundance to be able to give so I can give to every good work. And I'd say that all the time, and the Lord brought that up to me. He told me, you say this all the time. He said, have you been able to do that? Have you been able to? And I said, no. And he said, well, it's because of the way you're doing it. He said, in other words, he wanted me to come to that place. Look, that's the destiny for every believer if they want to go there. Now, if you believe the preachers that say, well, God don't want everybody to be rich, well, then you can't go there on this scripture. That scripture's not for you. But he gave that to the whole church at Corinth. The whole church at Corinth, he told them that he wanted them to have an abundance so they could give to every good work. He wanted that to take place for them. In other words, there's a grace of God that will bring that or work that for you so you can arrive at that place. And the Lord told me, I want you to go to the place where you're satisfied. And he said, you're not satisfied, are you? I said, no, sir, I'm not satisfied. So in other words, God was, what he was doing was trying to, he's wanting to fulfill what's in my heart to do that I want to do. I want to have enough that I have and I can give to every good work. So in other words, I realized from he told me in this scripture, I realized I wasn't reaching my goal, not because I didn't want to and I wasn't a giver, but I found out that I really wasn't doing things where I could arrive at the place that I needed to get there. And that's when he began, and we'll talk about this next week, but that's when he went and told me, he said, you don't have a systematic way of receiving. He said, you have a systematic way of giving. He said, you, this is what the Lord said to me. He said, you and your wife sit down every year and talk about the next year, what you want to give to and how you're going to set yourself and how much you want to give. He said, you have a planned way of giving. He said, you have no planned way of receiving. He said, you haven't planned anything to receive it. He said, all you do is when something comes up, you believe me for the money. And he said, I'll bring the money in. You know, I'll get the money to you like you want it. Yeah, it comes in. But he said, you don't have a systematic way of doing it. And I said, well, Lord, you're exactly right. I don't. That's what I don't have. I don't have a systematic way. And he said, you need one. See, the Bible talks about, you know, throwing bread on the water and then it returns, you know, on every wave. It don't say it turns every once in a while. If the wave ain't big enough, it ain't going to come in and it ain't going to... On every wave. Well, what I was doing, I was casting the seed on the water, but I didn't have any, you know, every once in a while I'd get some on a wave. But it wasn't by God, it was by Ed. It was the way I was operating. I wasn't operating like he wanted me to. is number one, is he talked to me all about this stuff about giving. He spoke to me specifically about ministries and ministers and stuff they're doing. And he was not happy about some of the things were going on. He didn't like it all. He's unhappy because he felt the people were being taken across. And I don't want that. People, they can go do a ministry, whatever they want to do. They can do whatever. But I'll tell you, here at this place, I just want to have some credibility when it comes down to money, comes down to things. I want you folks to be blessed. I want you to be blessed. As the Lord told me about it, he said, ministries are always looking for somebody to come along and give them a ton of money. And he said to me this, why don't you have a ton of money to throw into ministry? he said, the people in the church, he said, they know how to get rich and get blessed. He said, they can throw all the money you need into ministry. He wants the people to be blessed. This is what many people are looking at. Maybe somebody out there come along and send us a check for $1 million. That could happen. But where's our desire to be the guy that sends a check? I want to be the guy that sends a check. Why not? The Lord said to me this, you can go in this as far as you want to. You decide this. He said, I don't. You decide it. In other words, you're going to decide, you are going to decide how far you go. You will decide it, not God. God don't decide that. See, we're always told, well, God wants some people rich and they don't. Well, it'd be nice if he told us which one he wouldn't. We wouldn't be out here trying to do all this stuff. Why are we trying to do it? If we ain't supposed to be there, we'd be a sin to try to do it out of the will of God. We have so much nonsense. See, there's on one side, there's two ditches, and that's shame. The church has gotten buried in the ditches on either side. They've not come up in the center. But God wants his people to prosper. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to be blessed. You know, wouldn't you like to write the check out for $1 million? I sure would. I'll just tell you straight out. I'd love to write the check for $1 million. You know, just I'm the God, man, my words. Hallelujah. I just love to do that. You know, and I don't have to wait to get $10 million to do it either. I know guys worth millions upon millions and never have ever written a check out for $1 million. Worth fortunes, never wrote a check out for $1 million. And talk about God blessing them. I'm going to tell you, they're dams and not rivers. They're dams. Money gets to them, it stops. They always got a reason why they can't. Well, investments and this and that. Man, if you can't get out, get into some diversity where you can get smack dab right in the middle of what God's doing, then go home. You know, we don't need you here. I'm not going to be a dam. I'm going to be a river, and I'm going to cause a flood. Hallelujah. It's going to rain. Glory to God. But you know, following these things. Well, anyhow, so what the Lord told me to do is where he started me off. He said, you got to start at a place. And so this is the end of 2014. He began to speak to me, and it was from these things. And it's an interesting thing. He hadn't really spoke to me because I never had talked directly to him about it. I had thought about a number of things and, you know, prayed about a few things, but never really specifically spoke to God concerning my desire and things I questioned about being taught about giving and different things that, and also about receiving from God and doing things. And so I got real specific with God, started talking to him about it, and all of a sudden he started talking to me, and I realized he didn't talk to me because I really asked the questions. I really hadn't asked. It wasn't until I really asked. See, you can sit around and think about a lot of things. You know, you can have a lot of thoughts, but you know, God responds to prayers or talking to him, not thinking to him. Thinking ain't praying. It's talking. So I was interested, and I got talking. And when I got talking, he got talking. And this is when he went into this whole thing. But he told me, he said, it's already given. He said, you set yourself as a systematic. I don't know where, you'd have to talk to God about you. I'll just tell you where he started me off, what he did. I talked about this before. He told me, we were doing this thing. He said, I want you to believe me, he said, for $5,000. $5,000 that'll come personally to you, not the church, it's for you. So believe for $5,000. And I said, well, okay. I said, I can do that. And I could do for $5,000. And I have seen more money at the time come in than that. We believed in. But he said, start at $5,000. And what I want you to do is you double that the next, when that $5,000 comes in, then he said, put your faith out for $10,000. I said, okay. And he said, then you put your faith out. And he said, for when $10,000 comes in, you put your faith out for $20,000 will come to you. To do that. He told me to double. And that's what he told me to do. I don't know where you're at in your faith or what you can do, but God ain't going to tell you to do what I could do, or maybe you could do more. I don't know. I don't know that. But he told me, in other words, he wanted me to set up a systematic way of giving. Now, since that time took place, Wanda and I have had about $200,000 come in since we started this thing. And we started this in 2015. And we've had about $200,000 come to us personally, come in at times, just money come to us, doing this thing. Now, and I would say blowing horn, is Brother Hagin taught me this. The proof's in the eating of the pudding. Now, somebody can tell me, I don't believe that. Well, go ahead, you believe what you want. I've already experienced it, so I'm not even really interested in what you got to say. I'm not going to quit this because you don't believe it. I like this. I like this thing going. Hallelujah. And we have $250,000 is coming to us. Hallelujah. We have $250,000 going to come personally. See, I want to give to every good work. And I've liked this because I'll tell you, Wanda and I have been able to do some really good giving into some stuff, some things that we wanted to before and weren't able to. And now, hallelujah. See, I like this thing. I've got overstuck in it. I'm in a ditch. And don't come and dig me out of it. I want to stay in this rut. I like it. This is a good rut to be in. Hallelujah. It's doing this thing because, see, and another thing, it frees you. You know, because people see, they talked about the economy and all that stuff under this presidency and all that kind of stuff. I don't know, personally, I don't know what they're talking about. I just know that if you're only hung up in the economy of what this nation is, yeah, I'd worry too. You might have some problems. But see, when you're working in God's economy, the word doesn't change what God will do. See, God took, really, in a bad economic time and told me, you can prosper and go as far as you want. That's what he told me. And so you need to get over thinking right. You need to get in and think right. During the Great Depression, I don't know if it's this last one we had, which one's the greatest now. But anyhow, they called the Great Depression. There were more millionaires were made in the Great Depression up there. Now they have had more since, but up to like in the 1980s, they've had more millionaires made at any time during American history. Came out of the Great Depression. There's people got blessed while everybody else was going under. See, if you get tied and only look what's going on around you, you're going to have problems. When you give, you're going to give grudgingly. Boy, I need to hang on to this. Boy, if things ain't going to get good. You see the way healthcare is and that stuff. Oh, you know, I'm not going to, well, if I give this way, what if I get sick? You'll start letting those things, what fear will start coming in. You'll start getting fear. There's nothing matter with saving money. You can save money. You know, Wanda and I have money saved, but I'm going to tell you what, that money saved, I ain't got a lock on it. It's not in a vault where I can't get to it. If God has need of it, Ed needs to get rid of it because it will bring blessing to me. See, when we put a lock on things, well, this can't be touched. When you do that, this is what you're saying. God's going to say, I have things that you can't touch either now. It goes both ways. It always does. He'll always has things that you can't touch because it's going to require you. Understand, we're in a business together. It isn't about all me getting all that he has if he can't have what I got. This is a business partnership. When I learned that, I thought, my words, my share or his share, I'm going to hook up with his share. My share ain't big enough for me hanging on to my share. Dear God, I want his share. I want to come to this place. I want to be able. He said, you know, Randall Greer was at that time was going through the thing with getting an airplane and that stuff. He said, how much money he needed. And the Lord said this to me. He said, wouldn't you like to write the check out and just give him a check and he'd have to go through this thing and all these people giving checks? He said, wouldn't you like to just be able to just go write him a check out? I said, yeah. He said, well, if you move in this thing, you'll learn how to do that. You'll have the money to do it. I said, man, I want to go there. I want to go to that place. I want to go there. But I found out this, though, too, is getting over there, because this area is moving into this, just really even freed me further concerning money and about giving. And it just freed further. And I tell you, there's a lot that, I mean, I don't even think twice about anymore. I don't even think about believing God considering money like I did before. I don't even think about it in the same manner. It's really changed me in that. There's no labor of work or anything about it anymore. It's sort of like, you know, I just like the children of Israel, you know, when God told them in Deuteronomy 28, if they would do what the word says, it said, these blessings will overtake you. It's just sort of like, it's getting run down. The truck's going to run over me whether I believe it or not, because I'm out here flowing in this system and you're in this thing, and this thing's a coming. And it's like getting out there and you're not working at it to get it to you. It's like, my word, you're on a slippery slide. This big heavy thing's behind you rolling down, and it's going to get and catch you before you hit the bottom of the slide. You're going to get run down by this thing. And that's just sort of where it is. I'm sort of like, yeah, this thing's running here. This money thing's running now. We got her going good. And I'll tell you, the ball's gotten big. And it's this, and just setting this in motion and starting to do this is just doing it. And I want to encourage you. We're going to talk more about these, some of these things. But I want to encourage you, because God wants you to prosper. And if you and I pray I'm getting across in the right way, because I want you to have the, not just in giving, but having the right attitudes and thinking about your giving, thinking about your sowing. You know, think about what you give to. There are many, many good things to give to. But you need to understand this. God sometimes has you as an individual hooked to do a certain thing with some money. I found this out. I found this over the years. The more I've been led by the Spirit in my giving, the greater blessing I've seen. See, some people are giving to good things. You know, you can sit down and watch 27 shows on TV, ministry shows, and you know what? Maybe they're all good, something good to give to. But I'm going to tell you, generally, I doubt very much God's going to have you give to a bunch of them, to everybody, you know, that's turn around asking. You got to find out, but yet there might be somebody in the bunch He wants you to get locked with. God's never going to have you locked with 27 people trying to be, you know, God may have me give to a number of different people at times and different things, and I'm giving here and there. But my consistent giving, where I'm giving monthly and things and hooked up to, that's specific to where God tells me is giving in that money. And I found this out. As long as I stay with Him, I've at times got out from it, but whenever I stay in the flow where He tells me to in giving, I'm always blessed. It always comes, I'll tell you what, and that's finding out, what's God telling you to do, telling you to sow? You know, some ministers are coming up, well, we're better because we're bigger, this and that. Don't you ever believe that. You get into where God puts you in the flow that you belong. That's what you do. You get into the flow that you belong in. There's ministries that, you know, that I'm hooked up with, that I'm just in the flow with and giving to them, and I'm going to just continue to move in that direction until the Lord tells me to do something different. But I'm going to stay in that flow is what I'm supposed to do, because, number one, there's sometimes there's things you get fed out of. What you're getting fed out of, you ought to put some money into it. Number one, though, make sure you're getting fed out. I know people tell me certain ministries they're getting there, they get fed from, well, they need to quit eating where they're eating at, because it ain't doing them any good. They need to get out of that there, you know, rest, go to a good restaurant, quit eating that stuff they've been eating, you know, eating too much junk food. But find out what God, I'm telling you, be led by the Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. Be led by the Holy Spirit. There's loads of good things and good ministries. There are good ministries to give to. But Ed's not called to give to each one of them to be in a consistent giving to each one of them. He's not called to that. I have to find out, because God, I got to get God some say concerning my money and what He wants me to do. Somebody else over here maybe gives to that other ministry. That's what they're supposed to do. And they go do that. And that's what you do, is you find out what God wants you to do. So make sure you do that. Make sure you find what God wants you to do. Don't just throw money out there, because I'm going to tell you, that's not going to work just because you gave. You could be disobedient. You're giving. We'll talk about that some. I had a time where I was disobedient in my giving. I was going to disobey. I was going to give based on what the preacher was saying. And the Lord told me, if you give that money, you ain't going to see none of, you'll get nothing back from that giving. Because He had been trying to prompt me, and I wasn't listening. I knew He was trying to prompt me, but I was thinking, oh, you know, don't listen to that sin. No, don't do that. Don't do, no, that must be the devil telling me. Learn led by the Spirit. Well, He had to rebuke me and get me in line about giving. And so you want to do that. You want to get in line so you're walking right with God. And make sure you do that. Why? Because God wants you to be blessed. And we learn to be obedient in what He's telling us. And praise God, you'll be blessed. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet.